Independent wrestling is pretty damn fucking cool.
We're sitting down in the spotlight and squared circle with Rhino.
We're trying to bring more awareness to the independent professional wrestling scene.
Undoubtedly thankful for anybody that just decided to tune in and actually liked us enough to keep listening.
You're tuned into a show of such thermonuclear awesomeness, your head might just implode into another quantum universe. That's right, it's Grapple Talk, the universal cure for boredom. Featuring Nicholas Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden. Stick around, you don't know what is going to be coming out of their mouth.
Welcome into Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. My name is Nick Ragnar, joined by AC Riley and Jesse Von Ruden.
Hey,
how's everybody doing today?
Hey, doing all right. You know, I can't complain too much. You know, it's a nice, lovely November day we're actually recording this on.
It is. It's like, what is it, like 70 outside right now or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I mean, we're all wearing, like, you know, Hawaiian shorts and shirts and all that
Hawaiian
stuff.
Hawaiian shorts.
Yeah.
Got the windows open.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the windows open. The breeze is rolling on in. We got, martinis. I don't know. What do you...
Yeah.
Is that what you
drink? We're still drinking like summer drinks. You know? Like,
is that a martini?
Sure.
Not really.
Shandies.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Kool-Aid?
Know? Maybe.
Kool-Aid.
With some vodka in it or something like that. You know, some a little more gangsterish.
Is that like a Kool-Aid and vodka?
Yeah, you could Kool-Aid in anything, really.
What's that called?
Just fucking a mixed drink.
Kool-Aid.
It's called Kool-Aid and vodka.
Cool.
I had a buddy who actually used to do, it was grape soda and, like, blue UV, and he called it a John Stockton. Yeah, well, apparently it also made his shorts really short during the night, too, you know, so, yeah.
That's funny.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. Terrible ween man, though. He couldn't assist anyone, though, so.
Damn!
Yeah, what are you going to do?
How many John Stockton jokes can you make in the matter of 30 seconds? There was two right there. That's a lot.
I'm just going to stop right now.
Here are a few samples of some of the upcoming shows in the Midwest area.
AAW Pro Wrestling, this upcoming Friday, November the 6th at 115 Bourbon Street, 3359 West 115th Street. Wow, that is...
That's a pretty long address.
Mm-hmm. Marionette Park in Illinois. You're going to see quite the card, guys. Abyss.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll be there. I'll take on Christian Faith. Michael Elgin will also be there, taking on Tomasa Ciampa.
Should be a good match.
Yep. Four-way elimination match. The winner will face the AAW champion Ethan Page at the Windy City Classic. You'll see Lewis Linden versus Trevor Lee versus Silas Young versus Eddie Kingston in that fatal four-way. AAW Tag Team Championships are also on the line as the champions, the Hooligans, will take on the challengers. Team Tremendous and Allison Kay will be up in one-on-one action against Heidi Lovelace. Front row tickets are $30. Front row stage is $30. Second row, $20. Second row stage is $20. General admission is $15. Kids 10 and under can get in for $10 at the door. Bell time is 8 p.m., a little bit later of a show, but that's okay because it's kicking off the weekend. Doors open at 7:15 for AAW Pro Wrestling's show on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, AAW always puts on a good show. They got the Windy City Classic coming up next month. That thing's going to be pretty
off
damn good.
Chain.
It's stacked. It is stacked.
Mm-hmm. I got to say this much, too. If you get a chance, look at the poster they have for this Friday because it's got the 007 kind of look. It's spot on. It's stellar. It's awesome.
You going to steal that for a poster one of these days?
No. I think I'm going to let AAW have that one.
Probably like next year when everybody kind of forgets about it.
I mean, let's be honest. I'm going to forget about it at that point.
No, I don't know. You got that weird memory thing.
You do?
I do.
Asperger's.
I have weird memory, apparently.
Bob's Asperger's. All right.
You're okay.
New Wave Pro has a show coming up on Saturday, November 7th at the NWP Arena, which is 1439 Ash Ketchum Street in Terre Haute, Indiana. The Crossroads title will be on the line as champion. Big T, Thomas Moore, will be taking on the challenger, the New Age Animal, Spencer Wallace. Darwin hasn't said if he's a New Age Animal yet or not, so we'll have to wait to see about that. Anthony Lee, will be taking on TJ Roberts. The Women's Championship will be on the line as the Great Cheyenne will be taking on Cameron Starr. Fans tickets are... can get in the door at 5:30. General public can get in at 6. Front row is 7 advanced or 14 day of show. General admission is 5 advanced or 10 day of show. you get a family five-pack, five tickets in advance for just $20, which is not a bad deal at all if you get a family of five or you just have five friends. Might be the way to go. That's
not a lot of wrestling fans have five friends.
Yeah, they do, man.
Just kidding.
Yeah, they got like two groups of five friends, you know?
Jokes. What is that? No, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
You got the joke. Whose mind's in the gutter now?
That's true. That is actually a good point.
Yeah, you got gutter aids.
I'm not going to comment on that. Old Wrestling this Saturday, presented by Savage's Ale House and Wrestle Crate, Cornerstone Center for the Arts at 520 East Main Street, and they're invading Muncie, Indiana. Normally, that they're over in Ohio, so they're making big headlines by heading over to Indiana.
How big of a trip is that? Actually,
I gotta imagine it's pretty far because Ohio is. Where is that on the map?
Well, it's actually next to Indiana.
It's next to Indiana, but I mean, same time, like a drive from. St. Paul to Milwaukee is still pretty far, so I mean, I can imagine that their base in Ohio to Muncie it's going to be a while, but it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, cities to Milwaukee is like 5.5.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Jesse. Final showdown between Thunder Kitty and Heidi the Riveter. Remarkable Billy Rock will be taking on the old timer Jeff King, and in a body slam match, Judge Hugo takes on the Lone Star Lion Tamer Dustin Lillard. Three matches on the stack card. For old wrestling, and of course, you can look up on YouTube and old wrestling. It's very much that throwback to old school wrestling, and it's a good time if you like the vaudevillains, especially in the new age.
So, do they actually work headlocks for like 5 minutes on end?
They do actually.
Oh, cool.
And actually, you know, Thunder Kitty, Hyde the Riveter. I got to see the first match on YouTube that they had, and it was awesome. And especially the commentary was very much that old style of radio broadcast. So. It's an enjoyable time, and if you're in the area, you should definitely check it out. Doors open at 5:30 for the show. First bell is at 6. $12 for general admission, 5 for children 10 and under, and then also $5 for the Ball State students with student ID. So make sure you bring that with if you are a student of the Ball State. That's Old Wrestling this Saturday in Muncie, Indiana.
Well, guys, those aren't just the only shows going on this weekend. There's also a ton of other good shows going on. We'll have them on the Facebooks and the website and the Twitter and all that fun jazz.
Why are you guys looking at me?
I don't know, man.
Why are you looking at Jesse?
He's talking.
Oh, that's a good point.
All right, well, I was looking at you because your favorite female wrestler, Nikki Bella, was voted the top female worker based on the PWI rating system this past year, and you got to be kind of tickle pink about this. I mean, we've been talking about the merits of Nikki Bella for quite some time. And
true, you do talk about her a lot.
Coming at number one this year, that's a pretty big accomplishment.
I think it's a big step. I mean, you know, I think if you look at her progression 2 years ago, I think you would never imagine seeing Nikki Bella on top of the rankings.
Oh, she could have looked, but she couldn't touch it.
How many times do you make that joke when we talk about Nikki Bella?
Every time.
I think every time it's applicable, that's every time he's going to say it.
Well, it was applicable just now, so I guess that makes sense. But, yeah, I think it's really good for her. Really cool. I mean, obviously WWE and their training center and just the way they can progress people works out really well because, like I said, when Nikki Bella first started, she just seemed like another one of those, you know, lookers that was just in the ring because of, you know, the way that they looked, that model status. And I think she really proved that she can, you know, keep up with the best of them. And I fully believe that she is, you know, in the middle of this whole Divas revolution that everybody talks about, I fully believe she is still one of the best female workers, you know, on that roster. And that's, you know, putting her up in the ranks with Charlotte and Sasha Banks and Bayley. I think she's that good, and I think it's well-deserved, especially with the title reign that we just saw come to an end.
Yeah, and I think what's really nice about that, too, is that, you know, it's been a really good year for Nikki Bella, too, just because, you know, what was it, like a couple months ago that she was kind of called, like, this role model for females, something like that. So, I mean, she had that distinguished award to be like, you know, oh, she's a role model for females, you know, wanting to get into wrestling. And then now she's ranked one of the top, you know, female workers thanks to PWI. And then I think it's interesting too because I was watching the countdown on the network, and they were talking I was just going through like the top 10 unique matches, and then of course they did the Diva Detour. They were talking about like all the weird matches that Divas have been a part of, and Nikki Bella was the one that stood out by saying like you know, like they were talking about like bra and panties matches, for example, and she was like, oh, I would never want to do that stuff, and I'm kind of thankful that there's a lot of kids in the area, so we can't do that. And she was like, I just want to go out there and wrestle. So I think like having her say that on record is, you know, especially saying like, oh, I'm not here just because I'm a pretty face. I actually want to go out there and work and all that stuff. So
yeah, I gotta agree. She really has busted her hump over the last like year and a half, like just getting her game up there. And as Nick, as you alluded to earlier, like she really is the cornerstone of that whole division right now. Now I know there was a lot of fans who took to Twitter this past couple days and actually expressed their, I would say, disagreement with the whole fact that it wasn't Sasha Banks. Now, I know a lot of us who are big wrestling fans and stuff like that would say that Sasha Banks had one of the best years on record.
Yep.
But based on the way that PWI actually does their voting, it was one of those things where maybe there was a knock against Banks based on accessibility. Now, is this something that you actually believe to be true as well? Or
I mean, yeah, I think so. I mean, you can define accessibility in multiple ways, but I think part of it, you know, the reason is, too, is Nikki Bella has been on top of that division, regardless of how poor you think that division's been over the past year. She's been on top, and she works, you know, every single Monday night. It's live. You know, she works the pay-per-views, and I think that gives her an advantage. You know, regardless of how good you think Sasha Banks is, NXT is taped. I mean, besides the live events, NXT is taped. It's not necessarily on as big of a stage as Raw is yet. So when you're just looking at those two factors, I mean, you know, it's almost like saying, well, who's the best football player in the world? Well, this guy is really good because he won the Heisman. Well, it's like, well, he plays in college, so that doesn't really compare to players in the NFL. And I think you can kind of say the same thing with WWE and NXT. Regardless of how good people think NXT is, WWE is always a superior product because that's where all the, you know, that's where the finish, that's where the best people go. I mean, you know.
That's the goal, is to get to the WWE.
So I think, you know, it just comes down to Nikki Bella has been on top of that division for however long. And like I said, I think, you know, her and Sasha Banks could put on a five-star match as Sasha Banks did with Bayley. I just think Nikki Bella has, that division hasn't seen great talent over the past year, and they haven't spotlighted that great talent over the past year like NXT has. So I think that's also why people are probably ridiculing Nikki Bella as being on top of that. But, you know, if you watch her matches, man, she's always solid, and her promos are great. I mean, it's hard to – for me, it's hard to argue why she wouldn't be number one.
So one thing we'll ask, talk about this too, is that we're talking about the Divas Revolution. So I remember when that first started, that was such a shock and awe. It's like, oh wow, like I actually want to watch these matches now because it's not just a bathroom break or anything like that. It used to be though, like you kind of cock your head about that, but I mean there were matches, like especially in the pay per views, there would be a Divas match and you're like, oh great, here's the Divas match. I'm just gonna go and, you know, go to the bathroom. I'm gonna go get a soda or something like that. But now there's like the matches that they've been putting on lately. Just like, nope, Divas match is on. I'm sticking right here. This is gonna be a good match. But I gotta ask this too for you guys. So is it something that now that it's already been happening for a while, is that starting to fizzle out a little bit? Do you think that now it's starting to revert back to some of the old ways, or do you think that there's still the revolution still on and alive and well?
Oh, revolution's always in constant flux. That's the big thing about a revolution. It's not just all of a sudden like something happens and then it's just, you know, over. I think it's one of those things where it's still going strong, I really believe. Because each and every time you get more and more time on TV and it doesn't feel now like forced. Yeah, that was kind of like the big thing right away when they started doing it, where it felt like it was forced. Now it's intertwined. And there's a big difference between forced and intertwined. So as long as that product can be intertwined with like the larger scale, what WWE wants to get across, then I think it's just going to keep on picking up steam.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's, you know, lost its fizz at all. For me, you know, I think this whole revolution, the whole revolution to me was that those first couple of months when it turned Divas Wrestling into, like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say it was a bathroom break, but it turned it from, you know, just being another match on the card to now, for me, Divas matches are must-watch TV. I want to, like, you know, if I'm skipping through Raw, which I, you know, I have DVR, I'll skip through, you know, a tag match that I don't really care to see. But if there's a Divas match, I'll watch it because I think a lot of Divas matches now are must-see TV. And I think that, you know, while the revolution is still going on, I think for me that revolution was just changing that mindset from being, well, I can skip through these, to now this is what I want to see. I want to see what they're doing with this. So I don't think it's fizzled out. I think it's just done a great job of just changing, you know, what I once thought Divas Wrestling was to not, you know, and I don't even like calling it Divas Wrestling anymore. You know, it's women's wrestling to me now. I mean, Divas Wrestling almost seems like a, you know, kind of offensive.
Well, it's like giving it a point of interest, you know, like actually putting some time and effort into like the story that's going in it instead of all these two gals don't like each other because women apparently don't like each other. Mm-hmm. You know, they actually have a reason why they don't like each other and making that title important based on the fact that they're all feuding for that title.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this then. So from NXT, you had Sasha Banks, you had Charlotte, you had Becky Lynch, and you had Bayley. And then Banks, Charlotte, and Lynch got moved up to the main roster. And you know, obviously Charlotte is the Divas champion right now. And you have Bayley as the NXT Women's Champion. But we haven't seen a ton of Sasha Banks, even though the crowd is saying, we want Sasha. And now Becky Lynch has been kind of turned into that, just she's kind of there. And there's even rumors that maybe she will get brought back down the NXT roster. So do you think that while the Revolution hasn't fizzled out, do you think that some people are just kind of thrown to the wayside just for the bigger picture?
I mean, just kind of look at how WWE does things. I mean, they have a three-hour show, but, you know, people are always like, oh, I want to see more Tyson Kidd. Like, how long did it take for us to see Tyson Kidd? People still, to this day, I want to see more Cesaro. We still don't see as much of Cesaro as we probably want to see. It's just how WWE does things. I mean, I don't think it's part of the Revolution at all. It's just part of how, you know, they've constructed, you know,
their booking philosophy.
It's their booking philosophy. They've always, this is how they've always done things, you know. And it's just, you know, I think it maybe it's just more spotlighted now because of how, you know, over that Revolution was at first and all the people that got brought up right away that now it seems like, oh, these people are getting thrown on the wayside or these people aren't getting their time. But that's how it's always been. I mean, like when Neville first, I mean, what's Neville been doing lately? I mean,
Neville's actually got a really good, solid programming going. He's actually doing stuff with Stardust, and he's doing stuff like Keen Baron and Sheamus and stuff like that. The guy's actually still being profiled, but it's not where, you know, quote unquote, where everyone thought
that's
would
what I'm
be.
Trying to say. Yeah. So, I mean, I know that he's still wrestling. I know he's not been thrown to the wayside, but it's another example of, you know, through WWE Raw programming, you kind of forget about these guys just because that's how they book things, and that's what I think some of those women have kind of fallen into.
So then also, too, I'll ask this, like, with the new talent that's coming in NXT now, so you have, like, Nia Jax, you have, you know, Eva Marie now starting to get more work out there now, and then you have a lot of the developmental divas that, like Billie Kay, somebody else I'm thinking
of. You also got Alexa Bliss.
You got Alexa Bliss now feuding with Bayley. So do you think that this resurgence of getting some of the new blood in there, and then, like, for example, like with Nia Jax, though, she's kind of this big diva that can just, you know, crush anybody she's working with. Do you think that will still kind of add fire to the not fire to the flame, because that make any sense, but
it doesn't add
you know, more wood to the fire?
Yeah, I think anytime where you can always kind of, NXT has the benefit where they can always freshen it up and they always have like a turnover and they can bring in gals for a little bit, run a quick program, bring in someone else. It's just good, solid storytelling that they're doing. I mean, you can do that in, you know, on the main roster and stuff like that. But I mean, it's just a difference of philosophy between, you know, NXT and WWE. I think it's in perfect condition because right now you actually have a women's champion down there in NXT where you really want to root for, and she's a great face in peril. And you got these gals like Alexa Bliss, who is just, man, she's that mean girl from high school, you know, but she's more like, you know, she's a mean girl because, like, they already established her because, like, she ended up meeting boys, and she became mean because she met boys, which is kind of weird, but, you know, I mean, you got Nia Jax, who's, like, she's almost like, I would say she's closer to, like, Awesome Kong than she is to, like, a diva, you know, so she's adds a different dimension to the program as well, plus you got all those gals coming in from, like, New Zealand, Scotland, Ireland. You just got a tremendous amount of talent down there, and, you know, they're using them to their best of their abilities, and they're maximizing their potential right now. So it's always a fun thing. It's going to be interesting to see what they do on the main roster with, like, you know, Charlotte and Paige coming up here on Survivor Series in a couple weeks. I mean, that match's got the potential to steal the show. Which is saying something, because, like, those two have, I don't even think they've locked horns down in NXT. That was, like, the big matchup everyone wanted, and then we're going to get it at Survivor Series. So I think they're in a good condition, you know, and they're in a good place. It's one of those things where I don't know if, like, fans expect too much too soon. It's just one of those things where wrestling fans want it all right away on a silver platter with, like, hot cocoa.
Hot cocoa.
Yeah.
Hot cocoa.
I will say that Paige had an interview, I think it was on, what was that, Conan?
Okay. Recently. Yeah.
Really good interview.
Conan O'Brien.
It was hilarious. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It was funny. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen that, look up Paige on Conan. It was funny.
Oh, cool.
She wore a very revealing shirt. It was weird.
Yeah. Wait. How? Okay. Time out. How is it weird? Because like her ring outfit's very revealing as it is.
That is the weird part about it. But yeah. I don't know if you're just desensitized to ring attire, regardless of how
you think revealing like it is. You think like she dresses that like that at home, and she's like, "This is my house," and stuff like that.
Yeah. Here's the weird thing.
I'll dress like I want.
I don't
want
to get weird, but you know, you'll see Dolph Ziggler wearing tights, like literally just tights in the ring. If I saw a picture of that dude in a towel, which covers more than the tights do, I'd be like, oh, man, that's really revealing. That's kind of gross. But I see the dude wearing tights all the time. You know, it's just
they did that segment where, you know, Summer Rae found him wearing a towel.
Yeah, but you get desensitized to what they wear in the ring, you know? It's like, it's just how it is. I don't know.
You know what actually desensitizes your mouth sometimes? Cold. We're talking ice cream. We're talking with Tyler Sunday coming up here next on Grapple Talk.
Nice.
It's going to be a good interview.
You're listening to Grapple Talk,
the hottest property in this industry today.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Stone cold.
What?
Stone cold.
What?
You seem standing, but I'm dying
on the floor.
Stone cold.
What?
Stone cold.
What?
Maybe if I don't cry, I won't feel anymore.
What?
Stone cold.
What?
Baby. God knows
what?
I try to feel.
I said shut up.
Happy for you.
What?
Know that I am.
What? You want me to what?
Can't understand.
What?
I'll take the pain.
Bitch.
Give
me Snow Cone. What?
Me and my heart.
What?
We'll make it through.
What? 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 What?
You're dancing with her while I'm staring at my
wrist. What?
Stone cold.
What?
I was your ember, but now she is your shade of gold. Stone cold.
What?
I try
Shut up!
Happy for you.
What? What?
Know that
what?
I can.
Look at me. Look at me. What?
Can't understand.
What?
I'll take
I said
the
I'm
pain.
Gonna whip your
yes, give
shit.
Me
what?
The truth.
What?
Me and my
look at this. What?
We'll
look at this.
Make it through.
What?
Shut up, damn it!
What?
What?
What? What? What? What? What? What? What? What? Get your ass in the ring!
Don't wanna be stone cold.
What?
Stone.
What?
I wish
what?
I could
what?
Be
you want my
this,
comments?
But
what?
Here's my
what?
Goodbye!
What? Whataburger? That's what I said.
Oh,
I said what?
I'm happy for you!
What?
Know that I am!
What? What? I can't hear you. What? 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 Oh, that smells like what?
This is the monster of the Midwest, Sadus. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like Grapple Talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
It's not about the shoes.
It's about knowing where you're going, not forgetting where you started. It's about having the courage to fail. Not breaking when you're broken. Taking everything you've been given and making something better. It's about work before glory. And what's inside of you is doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes. It's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
Hi, this is Corey from Independent Wrestling Apparel. Are you an independent wrestler trying to get t-shirts made or hosted online for sales? Visit us at independentwrestlingapparel.com or email us at indiewrestlingapparel@gmail.com and find out how you can get sponsored today. Are you a fan looking to get a shirt from your favorite independent wrestler? Visit our website at www.independentwrestlingapparel.com today and purchase your shirt of your favorite independent wrestler.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we're sitting down with our 2014 Rookie of the Year. We're sitting down with Tyler Sunday. Tyler, thank you for joining us this week.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
So, Tyler, first things first, I got to know this. So, you've been around wrestling for how long now?
I trained for about 2 years and now wrestling and shows and stuff for... It's going to be 2 years in December 7th. It's all around almost 4 years.
So you've been around for about 4 years, and without a doubt, you are one of the nicest guys in the wrestling locker room. How has being in the wrestling business not, like, killed your smile at this point? Like, how has that not broken your spirit? Like, you just seem like you're always, like, cheerful. And
what the hell are you talking about?
I don't know.
Wrestling sucks.
I'm not saying wrestling sucks.
It ruined my life. I'm AC Riley. This is a confessional.
It's not that. At all. I'm just saying that, you know, like when you're in the locker room and you got guys, especially the younger years, that, you know, are messing around with you and everything like that, and, you know, that might, you know, it might kill some of the self-confidence a little bit, but, like, you always walk in like you're, you know, it's like the greatest day on the planet. So,
you,
I mean,
Snickers
or
something?
No, I just got to know, like, from the guy himself, you know, how do you always maintain that positive attitude in the 4 years in the business?
Well, I mean, I act like that because honestly, it kind of is. Like, it is the greatest day on earth when I'm at wrestling, and it's such a cop-out answer, but it's true. Like I love going there with all my friends there, and I've made so many friends, so easy to go in there happy and wanting to do this. And it's funny you say that I'm like the nicest guy ever for this business, because everyone tells me that. So if you're too nice to be in wrestling, you're way too nice, like you need to get out.
See, that's why I wanted to know that. It's just because, like, everybody says that, and just like I'm just amazed, because, you know, especially 4 years in, you're just always
you're
walking
a huge
in.
Asshole.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I am an asshole, but I hang out with assholes, and that's how I became
an
asshole.
Assholes.
Oh, you're an asshole.
I'm not.
You're
an asshole.
But no, it's just like every time I see you, like it just seems like you're always in a cheerful mood. Like it, I mean, you could walk in, I feel like, you know, you could have hit a deer, your car's destroyed, you'd walk in, you're just like, hey guys, how's it going?
Well, I don't know about that.
You don't know about that? I mean, okay. There's a line somewhere?
Right, somewhat.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I just have fun. Like, I don't know, I can't explain. I've been waiting forever to do this. So, I mean, like I said, almost 2 years of training. So, I mean, I've been dying to do shows. So now that I finally am, I'm just having fun, honestly.
I think one of the best parts about it, Tyler, and this is no, this doesn't mean, you know, anything, but I mean, you know, some people would consider the ice cream guy gimmick, you know, some people would be like, hear about that and be like, oh, I gotta be an ice cream guy, like, oh, you really took the ball and rolled with it. I mean, it's worked out fantastic for you. Every time you come out to the ring, people love when you come out, not only because they get free ice cream, because they love the gimmick, they love Tyler the Ice Cream Man Sunday. You know, tell us how that really started out for you.
Well, it was pretty funny because I was trained by Jimmy Vice, and so we were at the school just just training and stuff. And one of the trainers, GQ, one of the things that he would like to do was he would like to just give you a promo. And it would be on anything. Like, I'm pretty sure one time he went, hey, do a promo next week on porn. Sell me on porn. I was like, all right. And but for this week, one of the things was ice cream. Sell me on ice cream. So I cut this promo, and it was awful. Worst promo ever. And Jimmy was there, and we all laughed and made fun of the promo, and then Jimmy's like, wow, you should be an ice cream man. And we just all laughed and, you know, whatever. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he goes, no, I was serious. Maybe you should. I was like, okay. And that's kind of how it started, off of a joke.
So it started off a joke, but I remember when we were in the locker room a couple months ago, you were telling me about the first ever gimmick that you wanted to do before the ice cream man thing was ever in the process. Tell us a little bit about Tyler Sunday's first gimmick before Tyler Sunday.
Oh, my God. I think I know what you're talking about. If Vinny Riott listens to this, he will get an absolute kick out of it, because I don't think a day goes by that he doesn't make fun of me whenever he sees me for this. But I want to do a gimmick. His name was Tyler Real. And basically what it was just a cocky guy that wanted to tell everyone the truth. And, like, it was everything that's real. Nothing's fake with this guy. And so one time I did a promo for class, and Vinny was there and everything. I even forget what it was even about, but I just cut this promo, and at the end of it, I'm just like, yeah. And that was real. Tyler Real. And Vinny right away got on the ground laughing immediately.
So based on that, too, I got to know. So, like, now that you've shared the locker room with guys like Salas Young and Brock Hall, like, when you see them kind of do, like, their gimmick, like, about, like, being real and, like, nothing's fake at all, like, do you ever see that? It's like, oh, come on, they get to do it, but everybody laughed when I did it.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. It's kind of fun to watch, like, how they're doing it, because in my mind it was just a name. And I didn't really know what to go, you know, what to build it off of, because I didn't think I would ever be able to do it. So it's fun for me to watch Brock do it, and those guys like that are doing that gimmick. It's kind of fun to watch and see how they would do it.
Well, it kind of seemed like your gimmick would have been a little bit different, you know, like someone would have been like, oh, you know, aliens, man, they're fake. And you'd be like, no, man, they're real. They can tell you when the aliens are real. So what's the weekly budget on ice cream when you're going to store, like every show and stuff like that? How much do you throw down on ice cream per week just to make sure you can hand it out to all the kids?
Usually it varies from like $6 to $10. I mean, depending on really, like, if it's like a bigger show and I know it's a bigger show, I'll spend a little bit more. But what's kind of a smaller show and I know, like, maybe not a lot of kids are going to be there and stuff, I try to go down with it. Because also, one of the biggest reasons why I do that is because when I would go to shows as a kid and stuff, or to a circus or any real event, and a guy would be handing out, like, his sunglasses or handing out something, I always loved the feeling of being, like, that kid that's like, oh, I was so close to getting it, but you know what? Next time, he'll see me and I'll get it. You know what I mean? Like it leaves that I need to come back because he didn't see me last time, so I'm going to make sure he sees me this time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of like my dating life, you know?
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. We just went real there.
No, I just did, you know?
Tyler Real.
Damn it.
Tyler, I got to ask you, man. So obviously, you know, Tyler Sunday, the whole the gimmick's been working fantastic so far, but how do you keep expanding it? So how do you grow from where you are right now?
I'm just myself. Like people are always like, "Well, how do you make this gimmick work and how do you think of these things?" I don't. I just go out there and I'm me. The only difference is I'm really into ice cream. That's the only difference. Like, everything else is just me. I'm cheesy. I'm quirky. I just go out there and say these stupid, ridiculous things because I think they're hilarious. And it seems to work. So, I mean, I do, like, if I'm bored at work or something, I will grab, like, an ice cream book. Or I'll look online for, like, little stupid puns of ice cream and stuff. So, I mean, I enjoy all this. So it's so easy to create new things with this gimmick because it's not really a gimmick. Like, I am this personality, so.
Right, and I think what's always the nice thing, too, is that, you know, like, wherever you go with this gimmick, like, if you're handing out the ice cream, instantly you're, like, one of the top baby faces because it's like, oh, my God, I love Tyler Sunday. He gave me an ice cream bar. Like, it's the greatest day on the planet. But at the same time, like, you're not limited to just being a baby face because, you know, in ICW, like, you and Johnny Swashbuckle work heel over there. And it's like the polar opposite. You know, instead of giving away ice cream, you're just like, I got ice cream, but it's not for you. And everybody hates that. So, like, is that something that you kind of planned when you were supposed to be working heel? Or, like, how did you decide, this is how I'm going to take the ice cream gimmick and make it so people hate it?
Well, the first time I was told I was going to be heel, I was petrified. But one, I've always wanted to be a heel since I started to train. So that was going back to, I guess, the real thing. That's what he was going to be, at least in my mind. So when I heard I was going to be heel as the ice cream man, though, I was like, well, how am I going to do this? And the easiest thing that I could think of was, well, I'll just eat an ice cream in a kid's face. That should get me heat. And it did. And just throughout there, I was like, okay, I guess I'll just act like everyone's using me for my ice cream and I want it for myself. It was kind of just going with it, honestly. Like, okay, here's this idea. Oh, God, it worked. Okay, well, then I guess I'll do this, and this.
That's a very cold way to get heat.
Ah!
So recently in BCW, you've been embroiled in this feud with Sean Priest, and I got to admit, it's been probably one of the best feuds I've seen in a long time. You guys got instant chemistry in that ring. What's it like working a guy who you just gel with that much?
It's awesome. Sean really is awesome. Like, I wrestled him. It was like my third or fourth match, and I wrestled him, and we clicked right from there. And then when I started at BCW, we had a spanner. We'd have, like, six matches in, like, 2 months. Like, it was ridiculous. We were always wrestling each other's. And from day one, we just always felt like we were clicking. They were getting better and better, and people were just like, wow, like, you guys are tearing it apart. Like, and it was awesome, you know? And so kind of to keep going on, to hear you say that it's kind of the feud of the year, that's awesome. Because we wrestled so many times together that we were always afraid that it gets stale. And so always switching it up. And I think the biggest thing, too, is we're really kicking the crap out of each other. Like, that's kind of like what we do. Like, it's always like, I know he's going to bring it, and he knows I'm going to bring it. And we don't worry about anyone going, oh, you know, you were too light. Or no, you were too stiff, or you were too this or that, you know. Like, it's just, okay, you're gonna bring it, I'm gonna bring it. That's the style we like to work, and that's what we're gonna do. And so, I mean, it's really easy, to be honest.
So I got to know this, because, you know, you were saying that you click with Sean Priest, you know, whenever you guys are in the matches, it just comes naturally. But I mean, obviously, you feuded with other guys. You feuded with, like, Matt Winchester, with Paulie Tomaselli, among other people. So what do you really credit to just everything just working, you know, like clockwork with Sean? Like, what would you say is that factor that says, oh, when I'm with Sean, we work well together because blank?
Pudding pops.
Pudding pops. Is that pudding pops?
Well, I'm not Bill Cosby, so no. I mean, I would say, like, fudgesicles or something, you know. No, but it's really the give and take thing. Like, and with all those guys, like with Paulie Tomaselli and Matt Winchester, and there's so many other guys that I'm always worried about forgetting someone. So that's why I don't keep going with names. But it's a lot of give and take, and, like, I'm never afraid to give my ideas to those guys, because they'll take it. And whether we use it or not, they'll help me tweak it so it does work sometime down the road. And that's the coolest thing, because, like, I'll have this idea and I really want to do it, and they'll be, oh, no, it's not a good idea. Let me do this first, and then you can counter it with this, and that should be big. And it's like, oh, okay, cool, I'll keep that moving. You know, so it's just helping each other's. Like, I think Vinny was on here once, and he talked about all the give and take and how guys need to help other guys, and that's how you become successful. And it's true. Like, me and Vinny would sit in the car all the time, and we just talk. And he'd give me ideas, and I'd throw ideas at him, and it just helps you, you know? I mean, to give back to someone in the ring helps you in the long run, because they're gonna go, oh, you help me, I'm going to help, you know? And then that's what me and Sean do every single time we're in the ring. And the coolest thing about wrestling Paulie Tomaselli is I was afraid to wrestle him at first. I'm like, ah, you know, he's so good, and I want to be as good as him one day, you know? Because he was a higher-up guy, you know? And it's not knocking anyone, but you just see difference in people, you know? And so working with him was unbelievable because he didn't treat me like I was anything lower. I would tell him what I do, and he goes, okay, cool, do this here, but try doing this instead. And I use that stuff today. And just those tweaks help me come along all the time. And I think it helps us click in the ring.
Todd, it's like great perspective on, you know, a guy that's just breaking into the business. And I think you kind of already answered one of the, you know, kind of the basis of what I was about to ask, but you know, just coming from you, I mean, a guy that's still pretty fresh in the business, and I mean, part of what I consider in the Midwest right now, I mean, just a lot of really fresh, really good young talent. I mean, what do you have to do to, you know, be successful right off the bat as you've been the past couple of years?
I'd say connect with the crowd. I mean, that's what Jimmy would always teach me, and that's what, you know, my trainers would teach me all the time because, you know, in Powell, when I was training with Jimmy, we'd have different trainers. And it's not only the trainers that, you know, the lead trainers that are in there teaching you, but it's the guys that you're practicing with. I mean, they're all my trainers because they all help me. And they all taught me to connect with the crowd. Like, when I was just selling ice cream at first, I would talk to people. And I just connect with people and just kind of shoot the shit. And like, oh, you know, this guy has two kids. And then I know how to relate to that. And I know how to relate to this. And it's just connecting with people, you know, and you do it while you're selling, and basically because you know them. And if you're showing them that they're hurt or that you're hurt, they're going to connect to that more because they know you and they see your pain, they feel your pain. And that's the biggest part, you know what I mean? It's just connecting with the people and making them feel like they're a part of you. I mean, that's what always connected me with the wrestlers that I would watch on TV and what made me fall in love with it. So that's what I try to do, and it's working so far. So,
well, 2 years in, I got to ask you, what's some goals that you got set coming up here for 2016?
I really want to go full time in wrestling. That's the biggest thing. I know it's not going to happen right away, but just getting more shows as I can, just as much as I can. I want to be there. I want to hit other bigger companies, like goals for like PWG and freelance wrestling and shows like that, and of course Ring of Honor one day. Like, these are all goals that I have, and I know they're going to take time, but I think setting the goals right away and trying to get there as fast as I can, I think that's on the right track. So also guys I want to work with, I have a list of guys that I really want to work with that will absolutely push me to the level that I want to be at. And you know, guys like Joey Avalon, Sadus, Rough Crossing, you know, GQ. I mean, I've worked GQ, but it wasn't a long match, and I psyched myself out right away with that. So, I mean, love to get back in the ring with him. There's so many other guys. There's, you know, just setting myself up so the situation can make me succeed, basically, to see if I can step up and just get better.
I got to ask you, Tyler, I mean, obviously, that stuff's, in my opinion, it's attainable. I mean, you've been great the past couple of years. And I know you said it's not a gimmick, but literally, the ice cream thing works. It will get booked, believe me. But I got to ask you now, I have to know, handing out the ice cream, in the short period of time that you've been doing it, has it ever come back to bite you in the ass? Have you ever had a fan, like, throw ice cream in the ring?
I don't want your damn ice cream.
Like, have you ever had anything like that happen yet?
Absolutely.
You have? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, guys will turn their back on me. And I absolutely love it. I think it's awesome because I always hated it when a baby face will, you know, you boo him or you turn your back on him and he's still happy and like, yeah, you know. No, because you're really not happy because that guy's disrespecting you, you know. Mm-hmm. So I try to get him to laugh every time. I try to get a reaction out of him because if you're turning your back on me and you're going to ignore me, I'm just going to make you laugh and prove to you you can't ignore me.
I think what's nice about that too is that if they turn their back on you, like, you have a golden opportunity because you have an ice cream bar and it's cold, and you can just shove that down their shirt or anything like that, and, you know, they won't see what you're doing, and all of a sudden you throw it in there, like, oh, son of a bitch, ice cream.
True, but then that's the waste of, you know, the sweetest treat to ever eat, and I can't do that, you know?
True, that is a good point.
Yeah, and also, when they have kids, dude, like, there's these people that go to, I saw them in Oshkosh, that's where I was, and they turned their back on me. And they had a kid. And so I went up to the kid. I'm like, hey, you want some ice cream? And the kid whipped around and snatched that thing so fast. And the dad was pissed. It was so funny.
So, like, when the kid whipped around to grab the ice cream from you, did she grab it and then just continued to have her back turned towards you?
Yeah, he got a huge smile on his face, and he grabbed it, and he started to open it, and the dad, like, grabbed him and turned him back around. Wow. It was awesome.
Wow, his dad made you, you know, out to be like Satan at that point in time. He's like, no, you shun this devil, man. You turned your back.
Ice cream is the devil's food.
Yeah.
We'll need sherbet in this household.
Yeah. Yogurt, frozen yogurt.
Chocolate bars with vanilla in the middle. How dare you?
Tyler, what's your favorite ice cream?
Vanilla bean. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. What's your least favorite ice cream?
Chocolate.
I'm right there with you, man. I cannot stand chocolate ice cream. Overrated.
Is it just too chocolatey for you? Or?
For me, that's my
I'm not a big fan of chocolate. Once in a while, I have a brownie here and there, but I mean, I don't really like chocolate.
What's your preferred topping?
Probably crunch. You know how you get like those crunch cones from like Dairy Queen or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably that.
That'd be a sick sponsor, Dairy Queen.
That would be. Oh, my God.
How cool would that be?
You could have a DQ cake match, you know?
I get so fat, though.
You could get, like, Brock Lesnar shorts, and it just has, like, a giant DQ, like, right on the thigh.
It's got the Kemp's cow on the other side.
What a sick.
Blue bunny on the back, on your butt.
Yes, absolutely. See, there's a goal right there, actually, to be honest with you. I would love to be sponsored by an ice cream company. So,
well, I gotta ask this too. Like, speaking of ice cream, like, I remember seeing photos. It might have been like a BCW fair show. I'm not sure, but I think you rolled out in an ice cream truck. Did that happen, or am I making this up?
No. That happened. It was at it was this year, and it was at a fair show. Powell did at a Cicero.
Oh, it was Powell. That's right.
Yeah. I mean that was awesome. But that was the coolest thing ever, because Jimmy came up to me and he was like, hey, we usually have this ice cream truck come by the fair and stuff for the shows. If I talk to him, do you want to ride in it? I'm like, oh, of course. Like, yeah.
Like, is that a serious question?
Yeah, right? I was, like, shocked that he asked me, because I was like, well, of course. Like, you don't got to ask something like that. And so we talked to the guy, coolest guy in the world. Like, he was like, yeah, sure, no problem, come on in. So I went in there, and I was just talking to him. And, of course, he had a lot of questions about my gimmick and stuff, because it's a little weird. So so we just got talking and stuff, and then he drove me in, which was awesome. He's like, all right, kind of hang out the door a little bit, wave to the kids, all that stuff, I'll get you right up there. Cool. And funniest thing in the world is because I was wrestling Rufus Ramon, who's awesome, by the way. Like, I had a blast working him. But they were all cheering him. Like, everyone was cheering him. And the second I got through with the ice cream truck, the crowd was like, we like Tyler now. We totally turned on him. And it was hilarious.
That is hilarious. Tyler, and before we go today, obviously, if anybody wants to connect with you on social media, where do they go to find Tyler Sunday?
On Facebook. I also have a Twitter. Really bad at using the Twitter.
Yeah, so, I went to tag you, and you had, like, you know, four followers, and you haven't done anything in, like, a year and a half, so.
Yeah, I made it, and, like, I went on it maybe 2 days, and I was like, yeah, I don't get it. I kind of just stopped. But I have a Facebook page, too, just Tyler Sunday. It's spelled T-Y-L-O-R. That's usually what people are like, well, I can't find you, and I'm like, I spell my name weird, so just go with it. Or also, Tyler Patton, that's my real name. So, I mean, I hooked me up on Facebook, and that's how you can get a hold of me.
Awesome. Well, Tyler, for Nick and Jesse, thank you so much for joining us and sitting down and talking with us in the spotlight.
Awesome. No problem. Thank you, guys.
Hopefully that spotlight wasn't too warm that it melted him.
Oh,
ice cream.
Oh, come on.
Well,
now.
I'm glad everyone was in good humor for this one.
Hey, this is the real Brock Hall. You want to get your reality check? Check out Grapple Talk.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
Hey everybody, it's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
Pro Wrestling Roundtable Slam, PWR Slam, every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio on the Evolution Radio Network, 9 Eastern, 8 Central Standard. PWR Slam, leading the pro wrestling radio revolution with a new evolution by bringing you the stars of yesterday, the stars of today, and the stars of tomorrow, and all the other news and happenings you need to know in the world of professional wrestling. Find us on Facebook, PW Roundtable, or on Twitter, PWR Slam. See you Wednesdays.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS, Instagram at Indie Power Rankings, on Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
This is Jordy Leon, Talk is Jericho, you're listening to Grapple Talk.
Man, it was actually a lot of fun catching up with Tyler Sunday there. You know, we get to see him on a lot of shows, but we never really get a chance to actually sit down one-on-one and just, like, talk ice cream and wrestling.
One of my favorite things about talking to some of those young guys in the biz, and I think this really speaks, you know, to how Tyler handled himself during that interview, but I like getting the perspective on what a guy that's still fresh in the business needs to do to be successful, because you hear a lot of different things, and I think we heard something from Tyler Sunday today that we don't normally hear from young guys. And I think, you know, if you're just breaking into the business or if you've been around for a long time, I think, you know, what he said gives a lot of insight. I think, you know, so if you're one of those weird people that for some reason would ever skip the spotlight, which normally I think they skip the first
everything
and third
else.
Everything
yeah.
else and only listen to the spotlight, but if you're one of those people that for some reason skips the spotlight, you know, there's a lot of great insight for, you know, people that are just breaking into the business that we just got from Tyler Sunday.
Absolutely, and I think Tyler Sunday is one of those people that was trained right and, you know, trained how to really appreciate what he has, and opposed to just saying, oh, I'm a wrestler, so I can do whatever I want now, because, you know, he's in that mentality that you're always learning, and that's always a good thing. And I think especially hanging with the crowd that he has, he's been trained like that to think about that. So, like, we're seeing that a lot with, like, the Dojo Boys. We're seeing that with Brock Hall, we're seeing that with Jordy Lee, the list goes on. Like, we're seeing in that area that whatever those camps are doing, they're doing it right, and other places should really take notice and mimic that template, because that's how you should be training new guys.
And I mean, You know, we said during the interview, but guys, I really, you know, this is a gimmick. This, you know, I think it could really work. I mean, I think I could see that blowing up, especially, you know, if he continues to put the work in that he's been putting in the past couple of years. I mean, talk about, you know, finding a way to difference yourself from other guys in the biz. You know, because, like, how often we've talked about it where, you know, a lot of guys, and this isn't to, you know, say anything about, you know, other guys in the biz, but have that similar gimmick where it's just like, I'm a badass and I want to take names. It's like, okay.
I got generic skulls on my gear.
Exactly. But then you have Tyler Sunday, you know, like I said, when you hear about it, you're like, ice cream guy? What? And it's like, but then when you see it in action, you're like, yeah, this is great stuff. It's, and it's not like it's just a full-blown gimmick. I mean, he comes out and hands out ice cream, but he also knows how to handle himself in the ring, too. And, I mean, it just, you know, it seems like something that could really, you know, take him to the next level. I mean, it's not too goofy where it couldn't.
Oh, he's got something that's called character.
Yeah.
What if, and I'm just saying this is a hypothetical, what if CM Punk comes back and he does the ice cream man gimmick and he hands out his ice cream bars?
I don't know.
I just want to ask that.
Now it's time for Wrestler's Perspective.
All right. Well, one of the things that Tyler Sunday talked about in the spotlight was actually his first wrestling gimmick. So, AC Riley, I got to ask you, what was the idea for your first wrestling gimmick before you broke
into
the business?
What was your name again?
Oh, God. Yeah. My first...
Wait, no. What was... Yeah, let's talk about the idea. So not necessarily your first gimmick, but what was your first gimmick idea?
Yeah.
My first gimmick idea?
You know what it was. What was it?
Okay, you got to remind me. Cause
I don't know what it was. I know that you used to be first Alex O'Reilly.
Yeah, that was
well,
stupid.
Like before Alex O'Reilly.
There had to have been an idea that you had that you're like, maybe I want to.
O'Reilly works body parts. You know, like.
I don't know if there was an idea. Like, it wasn't like, you know, Tyler Sunday with.
No,
you know,
I mean, come on. There had to be a point where, like, even before, like, when you decided you were like, I'm going to train to be a wrestler. What was that first thought of that character that you wanted to be? Because, like, everyone's got that where, like, they might cut a microphone promo with a comb and be like, and then I'm going to get your son tonight at the Legion or something like that, you know? Like,
I mean, I would say that, but, I mean, there wasn't really anything because, like, for the longest time I was struggling with finding a character because I didn't know what I wanted for a character. I mean, that's why I was doing a lot of stupid stuff like calling myself Alex O'Reilly because I was like, oh, I got an Irish name, so I'll be an Irish character, I guess. So, I mean, I think for the longest time I was just saying that I was an Irishman that liked to fight just because I was like, oh, my last name's Riley and I can incorporate that.
You were Sheamus before there was Sheamus.
I was Finley, essentially.
Oh, you were Finley?
Because when I debuted and started wrestling NAW and et cetera. I think that's when Finley was like either just starting in WB, like he was doing his run or like mid Finley run. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll be like Finley. I'll just get in there and always never back down from a fight because I'm Irish or some stupid shit like that. So, but no, it wasn't like.
I was hoping he would have been like, man, I wanted to be like, you know, beep or something like that, you know, like something really cool, something like weird, like
Space
I was going to be
man.
A cyborg or something, you know.
See, I wish I was that creative, but it just like at that point, I think I was just more excited about getting into wrestling and being able to wrestle that I didn't think about that. And I think that's something that is nice to have for a lot of camps now is it's just like, well, what do you want to do? Because like we talked to Sadus about that, like when he was training and, you know, he'd be that sadistic, you know, methodical kind of wrestler, and it's like, that should be your gimmick, because that's what you're doing. Or you have, like, Tyler Sunday, who's just like, oh, I like, you know, this is me. This is who I am as a person. And, yeah, I definitely think that's something that a lot of camps should be doing now. It's like, well, what do you want to do? Like, I don't think that question gets asked a lot about, you know, who do you want to be as a wrestler, opposed to, okay, here's the basics.
No,
the basics are important, but...
That's, you know, that's why... I do the douche gimmick because honestly, I think me turned up to 12 is a douche.
Yeah,
a huge douche tool guy.
No, you turned up to like 7.
Is that,
you know,
and that, I think that's been the nice thing about my heel run is that, you know, I've had promoters tell me it's like, oh, that's good for you, and I've even had some fans like you had like Bob Covey, which is like, it's like, oh, I really like your character because it's very I don't know what the word is, and I heard, you know, Ben tell me sour grapes because he said that he liked that my character was very sour grapes about it. It's like, is it sour grapes? Like, yeah, you're just very sour grapes about everything. And I think it's just because I'm able to kind of take some of my personal stuff and put that into wrestling. So now I'm able to be more myself with the heel run. But yeah,
Are you saying in life you're always bitching and moaning about sour grapes too?
I mean, sour grapes are sour grapes.
I wish you had a cool story. Been like, I wish I was Kane when I was in wrestling.
Yeah, I didn't want in the voice box.
Kane used to be his favorite wrestler.
Actually, Kane. Yeah, Kane was actually the reason I wanted to get into wrestling. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It was just literally seeing the best of the best of Raw or something like that, and then they showed Kane coming out VHS. Like with the fire, and I was like, I want to be a wrestler. I saw that. And everybody thinks that's so weird, but like for me, that was the moment I was like, I want to do this.
It's not really that weird. Kane actually had a really good run. He's still going strong today.
Be kind, rewind, tape study.
Actually, we're just going to go back a few days ago. It was Dragon Gate's The Gate of Destiny 2015. It was our main event for the opening the Dream Gate Championship as the champion Shingo Takagi. God, I always picked it really hard. Takes on one of the aces there in Dragon Gate. It's Masaka, I can't even, Mushisuki or something like that. But anyhow, guys, this is a great match because the champion is only like a couple title defenses right in. And, he made a mistake of fatally turning his back on a veteran to start things off and gets a big boot right to the face. This is one of the stiffest, meanest, roughest matches you're going to see in a long time. It's a lot of fun to watch. Dragon Gate's definitely got a different style than you're used to seeing. You know, it's more of like a super indie style for Japan, so it's a lot of fun. It's a good main event. Got a lot of praise from a lot of different people, so check it out.
Cool.
Dragon Gate's got some good stuff going on.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. AC Riley, closing comments.
I do have a few things. First and foremost, as you guys may have heard, that Pa Stardom, Steve Stardom's dad, was in the hospital, and everything's going well with him. And, of course, he comes back out of the recovery room, and he's talking about wrestling. So good to know that the mannerisms of Post Arm haven't changed. So that's great to see that, things went well with the surgery. So shout out to him. We didn't get to do this last week, but I want to give a shout out as well to Matt Cage. Cause I don't know if you guys saw, for the Halloween show, he did Funky Monkey Wrestling. They had the costume battle royal and everybody, just gets some costumes and everything like that. And it's a lot of fun, but like, I give him props because he really went away from the norm, as you could say, because he dressed up like Sasha Banks. He came out to the music. He did the mannerisms, all that stuff. He even tweeted out to Sasha Banks on Twitter, who replied, "Oh Lord." So I mean, like that's like I give him a lot of credit for that because like he was saying that he did this 4 months after coming out. So like this is the first time he's really done anything that was like cross dressing or anything. So I think that's really commendable that, he's basically doing something that's not exactly in his comfort zone. And he's just saying like, "Oh, do it because it's fun. I like Sasha Banks." So it's like, give him props for that. So that's
pretty
cool.
Let's give a shout out to, I don't know if we did this 2 weeks ago, but let's give a shout out to, Chris from Spot Monkey Media too, for Gable and Jordan's ring attire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Designing that. That's pretty cool, man.
That's pretty awesome.
They had a hell of a match this past week.
Yeah.
That was a good match.
So if anybody didn't know, Chris from Spot Monkey Media, played a part in designing those guys' their new trunks. They're pretty sharp looking trunks too. They look pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. Good for you, Chris. Way to make it to the big time.
Don't forget about the little fish in the pond.
Yeah.
He probably wishes he could actually forget about us.
Yeah, he probably does.
Yeah.
Like, those guys.
He's just like, fuck.
It's one of those
things. Man, it's a lot of fun. You're like, thank God. I
never want to talk to them again.
These assholes, they're so pretentious.
A bunch of dicks.
Yeah. Well, hey, guys, that's episode 94. We'll be back next week with 95. We actually got a guest lined up. Who is it?
We're talking with Jumpin' Jim Brunzel. So that would be a fantastic interview, and it'll be a great chance to sit under the listening tree.
Well, Fallout 4 does come out next week, guys, so I might have to take next week off. I might be living in my house playing video games.
Isn't that like your guys' game, Fallout 4?
I think it's everybody's game.
It's not my game.
Except for your game, because you're a hipster and you like old school.
You like NES.
No, it's called like I'm poor and I don't go out and buy video game systems left and right because I have a very, very tragic comic book addiction.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's actually a good addiction to have as well.
Tapping
out.
Yeah, I'm done.
That does it for this week on Grapple Talk. Make sure to join us next week. Like we said, we have a great guest lined up. And as always, Grapple Talkers, stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
All right, I'll start things
squeaky.
Sounds like Lilar. Lilar and Stitch. Lilar. Ohana.
Jesus.
Ohana means family. You don't even know what I'm talking about, Jesse?
I've never seen this movie.
Oh.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.